Because I have, we have miles to go. Before we begin, because of my exceedingly great memory, I forgot last week to thank you all kindly for your generous gift. You guys are something else. And I thank you. Having said that, I will entertain prayer requests this morning. You know, one follows the other.
I was thinking, having said that, I'll entertain one of my...
Yeah, I wasn't going there. So we'll keep Dave and Olivia. Olivia and Dave. In our prayers. Okay. Any other announcements that you would like to make? Ruth Anderson? Do we know why? Ruth in our prayers. Yes. Yes.
Keep mom in your prayers. She's starting to feel more human now.
That's excellent.
And my brother Tom is in a wound care hospital to try to help with his situation.
Awesome.
And he's starting to come around. He's not on a strong drug like they had him.
Wound. Is it, are they doing hyperbaric?
Yeah, they're doing hyperbaric, and then they'll start the skin grafts. They're talking multiple skin grafts.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really
hard. Diabetic? Diabetic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll be green. But they said down in Indy, it's something that's happening a lot.
Really?
They're telling men to check themselves thoroughly often.
In Indianapolis.
Yes.
Stay away from Indianapolis.
If it's something that's been passed around in the hospital, I don't know. But it started out as a little bitty spot, and within 3 days it was black. And on the fifth day, it was getting green.
That's not good. So keep Tom in your prayers. And Debbie.
Debbie's also.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes. We have an open spot here. It's kind of unnerving. What she got? Huh? No, I can't. Yeah, okay. Mess with me, all right? Is she here? Did I miss her? What's up? How can we pray for Glenda? Okay. Yeah, go. I'm sorry. There you go. Anyone else? I have praise, I think. Our family is growing. Now, don't look at Cindy. I was listening to Pastor Nyquist, Moody, coming in, and he was talking about Abraham and Sarah and how Abraham and Sarah had children well into a period of time that was well beyond childbearing years. And it's me. It's the way I think, you know? My daughter, Lindsay, is with child. So we've got two coming somewhere in around July and August. Sarah is also with child. So our family is going to be expanding. Yeah. We're gonna have to take shifts in watching the kids. No, I don't. I love them. I love them before they're here, but you know, I'm just gonna let God do His thing. So, we're rejoicing in that. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father God, You're truly great and mighty in all You do. And at the same time, Father, you desire a relationship with us. It blows my mind that the God of the universe, the Creator God, would have a desire to know us and to know us intimately, to care for us, to be a part of our lives, to walk alongside of us, to give us His Spirit. When I think of it, it just is an amazing thing. And I'm grateful, Father, as we all are, for all You do for us on a daily basis, for the very air we breathe, for clear minds, for a desire for You, for all the things, Father, we just so take for granted. We give You our praise and our thanks. Father, as we bring our request before You, we know that You in Your wisdom and knowledge and strength know everything that I'm about to speak. But in obedience, You've asked us to bring all of our requests before You. So we're going to do that. Father, we pray for David and Olivia at this exciting time in their life and the birth of a new child. We pray that all goes well, that You care for mother and child and father and siblings in a way only You can. We pray for Joe and Donna, even before they leave, that You would make a way and a path for them, that You would keep them safe on their journey, and that You would bring them back to us safely. We pray for Ruth Anderson, time in the hospital. Father, we just ask that You work in her body to relieve her of this infection. Father, we believe You can do all things. All things. And we ask that You intervene in her body and make her well, if it's according to Your plan and purpose. We pray for Marilyn and are encouraged that she's getting better. Father, we ask that You continue to work in her and bring her back to us so that we can fellowship with her. We pray for Tom, and we ask for You to intervene and give his body the ability to heal, Father. I know what it's like going through the hyperbaric treatments, and I pray for his patience. I pray for his steadfastness to do exactly what the doctors ask him to do. Pray for his wife as well, Father, in the decisions that she's going to need to make. And I pray that You just surround them with your comfort, with wisdom to do what needs to be done. We pray for our sister Glenda this morning and the issues she's having in her stomach and intestines, and we ask that you would ease her discomfort. Father, we know, again, if I have to repeat it every time we ask for a loved one here, that you do all things well, that you are our maker. You know how we're made. You know how frail these bodies are. But it doesn't negate your ability to work. We believe that completely. And we thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of those we brought before you. We pray for Carol's niece as the fall has complicated the ability to do surgery. We ask, Father, that you work in her body, her mind, that you would comfort her, that you would give her a reliance upon you. If Carol has to go and minister to her, I pray that she would watch over her as she travels. We thank you, Father, for being there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the ability to have access to you without a third party, without having to go through a litany of people to get to you. We have access directly to you. Your word says it. You have borne that out in our hearts. And we praise you for just making yourself available to us. I pray, Father, that we don't neglect that. That we seek you first as we're commanded. When trials come, when we don't know what to do next, that we seek you first. And not rely on our own strength or wisdom. You're truly gracious to us, Father. For your care, we give you praise. For giving us your Spirit, we praise you, Father. Daddy, I ask that nothing be taught here today that is contrary to your word or to your will, but that you would receive all glory and honor in our pursuit. We desire this meeting with you. We desire to look into your word and be encouraged by it, be instructed by it. Thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for all things that you do. And we give you our praise and our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the wisdom of God. When we left off last week, we were in the garden trying to squeeze a little bit more knowledge out of what God determined before the foundations of the world. Satan, our enemy, out to eat our lunch. We looked at these two verses last week. Satan assured Eve that in eating the fruit of the forbidden tree, she would be like God, knowing good and evil. That's in Isaiah. Not Isaiah. No, that's in Genesis. Sorry. Satan's sin was trying to be like God. I think we plumbed that as much as we want to right now. In a competitive way, and by his own effort, I fear Eve's motivation may have been similar. The truth was that eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would not make Eve like God. Eating the fruit was disobedience. It was sin. God is righteous, and one does not become like him by sinning. She was deceived, quite deceived, as Paul points out in 1 Timothy 2:14. Would you look that up? We're going to we've got several passages of Scripture we want to make sure we get to this morning. So if you would look at 1 Timothy. First, 2:14. Okay, and we know the rest of the story. Her deception led to Adam eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam was directly commanded not to eat of it. So we inherit Adam's sin, not Eve's. They both fell, but the responsibility for our condition today falls squarely on Adam's shoulders. Doesn't alleviate you ladies or Eve in any way. But the hierarchy in the family position man, the man in the family, to be the teacher, the director, the caretaker for the family. It didn't fall on Eve's shoulders. She was to be in submission to her husband, as we are today. Men, we have a responsibility to nurture our wives, to come alongside of them, to teach, to give them what God commanded they needed. A director in the family, responsible for the family. I think there's a lot of men out there that have abdicated that responsibility, and we saw what happened. Do you believe in your hearts that for a moment in time that Adam was too far away not to see his wife do what she did? They were forbidden to eat one tree. One tree in a garden of plenty. And that's the one tree that they ate of. And on that day, they died. And so did all their descendants. Us. One word from Adam. One intervention from Adam. Knowing fully what the consequences were, would have avoided all of this. That's why when we inherited sin, we inherited Adam's sin, not Eve's. She was deceived and disobeyed, but Adam was there, knowing fully what God had commanded. Knowing fully. Okay. And we discuss this. Yes.
So what are you supposed that God decided to just let everybody be like they are? Why didn't he just kill them both and start over?
It's a good question. That's a good question. We talked about free moral agency, free will, last week. And we talked about it's the nature of God to desire obedience from his children. Hasn't changed. He desired Adam and Eve to have a relationship with him that was unique. Okay? Who failed in that relationship? They did, and we inherited that. So we did, collectively as a human race. We fell. Okay? Out of disobedience. God could have, in his wisdom and strength and knowledge, said, okay, we're going to start over. All right? So was it wise to let man fall? Could he not have intervened, I think is your question.
Well, I guess he knew that, however many times he decided to make man, it would probably end up the same way.
If you want to take it to its natural conclusion, yeah, But we don't know that. We are reckoned one account of the fall of man. We're not, you know, God didn't say, okay, you're number 67. I've tried this over and over and over again, and you still don't get it, so we're going to stop. We're going to wipe out what's left. I mean, he showed us the capacity to do that with Noah. Okay? Man was so evil in and of himself that God was ready. We just needed to find, you know, if there's any righteous men or women on the earth, then I'll spare them. And we know the story of Noah and his children and their wives and how he spared mankind then. So he has the ability to intervene. I believe fully, and I believe in a sovereign God who knows all, who saw and allowed long before he said, let there be light, which is fries me a little bit. He saw all that would happen, and instead of punching the first domino, he allowed it to happen. So is the fall of man then God's fault or his inability to care for that? No. Look at the praise, just one aspect of how we live today. Look at the praise God receives when his children are obedient. Is there glory there? Because we choose to say, I'm going to do it his way. And would that have been the case if it was just Adam and Eve? And the relationship being good as it was, would that have been multiplied the way it has been in us? Yes. Righteous. Yes. Absolutely. I think that's why we weren't annihilated, okay, at the garden. Because, yeah, he made Adam. I mean, yeah, really, you have to go there. These are the first humans on the planet, and they're communing with God on a daily basis. He walked with them in the garden. We have no concept of what that's like, face to face, and we won't until we are in glory. And at the same time, one command. Just one. Yeah, one rule. Not 680 or 9,000. We have one rule. You got all the food you could possibly need. I will care for you. He made them. He made Adam out of the dirt. Then he took a rib from Adam and made Eve. Thus, she is woman and he is man. And they were perfect. There was no death. I think we talked about that last week, Gary and I, after the fact, about death. They had no conception of death. Okay? Yet they were commanded not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, lest they die. So somewhere along the line, God had to give them some, you know, it'd be like, how many rocket scientists are in here? None? Okay, we're going to talk about string theory now in physics. Anybody help? Explain to me the gestation process, since we're going to have two new grandkids, and how that works, and how eggs become humans. Anybody? Anybody? Smartest men in the world still don't know what the smallest particle is, because when they get to the smartest particle beyond the atom, smaller than that, the atom is made up of pieces. What are those pieces made up of? We don't know all those things. We don't. We have to rely on what we've been told. In our state today, we know that God, and we've been spending a lot of time, and we'll spend a lot of time, Lord willing, looking at all of his attributes. His righteousness. What did we start out with? We started out with his excellencies, just an overview. We then went to the power of God, and we looked at his power in every circumstance. We looked at the goodness of God, without which we would all be consumed. We looked at, now, the wisdom of God. Was it wise to give man the ability to reason? It's a question we're asking, because God could have done something differently. You know, the scripture says the wisdom of man is foolishness before God. He doesn't think like we do. Listen, if you knew like he does the end from the beginning in all things, how would you live your life? Seriously. I don't know that we can answer that fully because we don't have that kind of wisdom. But we know who does. And it's a matter of faith, okay, and trust in what has been spoken and what we have experienced in our own lives that leads us to believe what he has said. Faith. How many of you have seen God today? Yet we're here. And we're discussing one of his attributes, his wisdom. For us to look at this, we would say, you know, whoa, okay, they fell. Let's start over. But somewhere along the line, it pleased him, even though man fell, that this happened, because now the choice is yours. You have the same kind of knowledge that Satan has. Okay? The difference in our reality is God's desire is that we know not only that we know good from evil. And that's a distinction we have to really make. The fall was perpetrated by the desire of man to know good and evil. And the minute they ate of it, they knew it. Good and evil. Our work here, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, is to know good from evil. We still have a choice to make. And sometimes we make the wrong choice. You ever done anything evil? Anything that was contrary to the precepts of God? Anyone? Oh, sure we have. That's why we're in this state. That's why we fail in some things that we attempt, because we don't seek him first in our effort. We don't let the Holy Spirit work. I mean, this is pervasive throughout the Old and New Testament, God's word to us in entirety. When men obeyed, they were successful. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what testament you're in. When they obeyed God, they were successful. Even if it didn't seem right to them, when they obeyed, listen, fall of the walls of Jericho, this massive fortress, okay? God tells, is it Joshua? Jericho. Yeah, Joshua. Well, thank you for that. Joshua was commanded by God to walk. around this walled fortress. Seven times? Okay? Really? Look at the wall. It's feet thick. It's not a fence. It's feet thick. It's impenetrable. God says, walk around it seven times. And when you're done, give a shout. Really? God said to Abraham, he's 100 years old. You're going to have a child. Really? His wife had to look, and we see the discourse. He looked at his wife, said, we're going to have a baby. And she said, really? I'm 90. What do you believe? Tell me what you believe. What happened with the walls of Jericho? They gave a shout and they came down. I read these things over and over and over again, and I think, you know, with men, these things seem foolish, what God has asked them to do. But when they do them, God is not only glorified, but they're successful in what God has called them to do. It's like I said, it's pervasive from Genesis to Revelation. It's not something God diverts from. He asks men to do impossible things with his help, and they are accomplished when they are believed. Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? What did they do? What did they do? You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Okay? They had a plot of land. They sold it. And they kept some of the money back. And when asked about, you know, did you give it all? My paraphrase. What'd they say? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we gave it all. And that Ananias did what? What happened? Dead. Just like a doorknob, right on the floor. And his wife, not knowing that the men were carrying out his body, were asked this, she was asked the same question. Did you give it all? All they would have had to been is honest. No, we kept 20% back for ourselves. And it would have been fine. They were asked a simple question. What happened? He lied, and she swore to it. And what happened to her? Now, think about it for just a moment. Think about just this past week. Have you done anything like that? Have you done anything like that? Have you understood what was required of you and maybe decided to do it your way instead of his? I mean, this is pervasive because we are fallen. The great joy we have and the great comfort I have is that God is not only righteous and just and full of love, but he is forgiving his children. You, me. I'm not saying there aren't consequences to our sin. There are. But the reality that we exist in is that God loves us so much that he makes a way. He makes a way for us. It's truly incredible when you stop and you realize all God does for you on a daily basis. Okay? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Your lungs wouldn't be able to do that had God not permitted them and made them to do that. You think it's of your own volition that you take air? How many of you thought today how many times your heart beats in a minute? 70? If you're really, really healthy, 80, 85, 90, 100 times a minute. let's see how many times. There's 60 minutes in an hour. Okay, there are 24 hours in a day, and this happens daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, without you giving a slight consideration for it until something happens. Okay, it just amazes me how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. And at the time, it's Eve, it's Adam, and they walked in the garden with God. Just the three of them. And they had to have some knowledge of what God meant by death, and they chose to do their own thing. It was wrong for Eve to desire to be wise. Was it wrong for Eve to desire to be wise? Was it? Is wisdom not something that we pursue? Was it wrong for Eve to have that desire for wisdom? My question to you. Was it wrong? Okay. Then why the consequences? Why was there a penalty for that desire? Okay. I'm sorry? Okay. I'm think about it. Walking with the Almighty in the garden. Day after day after day. You think that there might have been some discussion about, you know, what's that? How'd you do this? I would be asking those questions from this standpoint, anyway. I would be very curious as to why roses are red and yellow and sometimes white. I would be curious, you know. We have everything that Adam and Eve did, only we fell with Adam. So I'm sure there was a curiosity there. What's that? Four-legged animal. You know, no desire to eat the thing. Okay? But what's that? What purpose does it have? I'm very curious. I want to know how things work. I don't know where it comes from. But engineers, you're an engineer, right? Okay. What? Why? Did you have a desire to be an engineer? To learn how things work? Replicate them? Yeah, I don't. No. I'm just saying, look at your life. It doesn't have to be engineering. But look at your life. Why do you have the desires you have? Anybody ever ask you that? Why do you desire the things you desire? Because I do. Seriously?
I know as a child, we were constantly teaching my daughter what things were. She was always asking, what's that?
Wide-eyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, interested. And then she grew up and all that interest went away. Okay, not all of it. But it wasn't as innocent and pure as it was at the beginning. Surely it cannot be evil to desire to be wise, can it? That's the question before you. It surely can't be evil. I'm trying to get around this, you know, get my head around this. It surely cannot be evil to desire wisdom. Someone up there said how it was attained, which is a big deal. When knowledge is the knowledge of evil, then ignorance is truly bliss. Let me repeat that for you. When knowledge is the knowledge of evil, then ignorance is truly bliss. But God did not want to keep Adam and Eve ignorant. He didn't want them to be ignorant. He didn't want them to be stupid about what things were. The command was, stay away from that tree. Because the day of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Did he forbid them to become wise? Not at all. God wanted Adam and Eve to be wise concerning what was good and ignorant of what was evil. In Romans chapter 16, verse 19, Scripture says, "For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil." Wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil. That's Romans 16, 19. Satan's wisdom was a knowledge of good and evil, and we've discussed this briefly. And in the knowing of evil, Adam and Eve became alienated from the enjoyment of good. Now that they knew what was good and what was evil, they were alienated from the enjoyment of good. It was innocent. There was no sin in the garden until disobedience was wrought by man. It was pure. It was holy. It was righteous. It was all those things that make up God. It was perfect and complete until they decided they knew more than God. Adam and Eve were given every opportunity and encouragement by God to know Him, to be like Him, and to be wise with respect to all that is good. Let us note some of the ways that God made this possible. First and foremost, they could be wise concerning good by becoming students of creation. What had God done before He made man? He created everything they saw. Sky, water, animals, all of it. Trees, bugs, snakes. Yeah, He created snakes. Scripture says, "O Lord," this is Psalm 104:24-26. These references, if you need them, we'll come back to them. "O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, and the sea and the sea great and broad, in which swarms without number, animals both small and great. Their ships move along. Leviathan, which you have formed to sport in it." It's amazing to me when we consider what God created. I mean, and I'm certain we haven't seen everything He's created, from in the depths of the ocean to the depths of the earth. But to just look about you like we don't do with any regularity, we don't consider, you know, how clover grows. We just complain about it. We don't consider how birds do what they do. Any of you know how to fly? Any of you? Yet we take so much for granted when it's all right before us. We take those things, which I've mentioned, so many more for granted. And God said it was all good. You remember that in the beginning when He created? Every time, every day He created, at the end of the day, He said, God saw it and it was good. Even when He made man, knowing fully giving man free moral agency would cause them to fall, He said it was good. How could something like that be good? I think we've looked at that earlier. In Psalm 136:5, he said, "Him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting." That's Psalm 136:5. Proverbs 3:19-20. "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew." That's Proverbs 3:19-20. In Proverbs 8:22-31, it says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I brought forth. While he had not made the earth and the fields, nor first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. And when he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he had made firmament, when he had made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set the sea and its boundary so that the water should not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, a master workman, and I was his daily delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men." Proverbs 8:22-31. Jeremiah says, "He who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom and his understanding, he stretched out the heavens." Jeremiah again, "It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and his understanding he stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is tumult of waters in the heavens. When he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth, he makes lightning for rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Did Adam and Eve wish to be wise? Then let them study the creation of which they were a part. Did they wish to know good? Then let them know his creation." We're going to stop there and pick that up next week. Let's pray. Father God, we have such limited understanding of who you are, yet your word speaks volumes to us. I pray, Father, that as we look to your word, you give us some understanding through your spirit on just how awesome you are. Your plans may look foolish to us, but they come to us with great abundance. I am truly amazed at how you work. It's different than what I see around me day to day. Yet we're called to believe, to have faith in what you have done. Father, give us the capacity to trust in you that much. We give you all our praise, Father, for this time, for your word, for your spirit working in us. And we give you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.